Upon your word this morning, I ask that you will take all the glory and the honor for all that you have done so far. Let the life of no youth here, no adult here, no person watching, connected via the television, the satellite, the internet, let not one person remain the same. We give you the praise and we give you the honor in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I'm sure that we are online, television. Is that right? Very, very quickly, I appreciate every one of us here. I believe that we have been brought here to be impacted, to be ignited, and our lives will never remain the same. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I'm speaking quickly on the subject, the days of youth, dash, knowing God. The days of youth, knowing God. Our objective this morning is to understudy the tendencies of youth, and also to understudy the knowledge of God in the days of youth. Please, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say today very carefully. Help me make your friends to listen to what I'm about to say. The youth age group is a major focus, both for God and the devil. Especially the devil. Knowing the potentials and the possibilities in the youth age and the destiny and the future that lies ahead of the youth, the devil does a lot of overtime, target specific attack on the youth age. As it is said, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. I'm not saying this to make you fret or be afraid, but I'm saying this so you can have a much better future than the future some of our parents have had. You go through scripture, starting from the land of Egypt, you will see the attack on the children that were born. Pharaoh gave an instruction in Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 all the way. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shipra, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools giving birth, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. There was a decree to kill them young. Instead of catch them young, kill them young. And this is a persistent thing that the devil has done over the years. If you look at David, when David was talking about what he had done in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 34, he said, I was keeping my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb. The baby one, he took a lamb. The lion, the roaring lion, is always after the lamb. He took a lamb. Not the adult goat, not the adult sheep. He took a lamb. He said, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. The Lord is raising a David generation of people today that will go after the lion, the roaring lion, in order to pull out the lambs from the mouth of the lion. And some of them are here today. If you are among them, you shout the louder, amen. So I went after him. He went after the lamb. You go into the book of Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born, again, there was a decree to kill them young. In Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 16 all the way to verse 18. Matthew chapter 2 verse 16 all the way to verse 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. This was to fulfill that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and will not be comforted because they are not. I want you to understand, as a young child, that both physically, spiritually, and otherwise, the enemy is after the youth age. Am I communicating? Medically speaking, for some of us who are medically inclined, when a woman gets pregnant, we shall not cast our young. But medically, a lot of miscarriages and abortions and all that happen. I'm not talking of somebody who went to abort. The highest level of abortions are the first trimester abortions, the first 3 months of pregnancy, the miscarriages. The earlier the pregnancy, the higher the possibility of it coming out. The younger the pregnancy, the more easy it is for it to go. Am I communicating? All principles are parallel. As it is there, so it is. Chromosomal abnormalities and all manner of things that will make the pregnancy to come out under 3 months. If you compare the number of women who say, I miscarried, the first 3 months is maybe 70-80% of all miscarriages. Am I communicating? Then the child is born. And before the child can grow, he's confronted with about 6 to 7 deadly diseases. Measles, cholera, diphtheria, polio, chickenpox, pertussis. All the 6-7 deadly diseases against which they immunize children. Very rare before you talk of immunizing an adult. Except for the propaganda going on right now. Am I communicating at all? And then the child grows up. And then it's just battling one thing or the other. I remember growing up as a child, if I talk about a child being attacked, Everything I have said now is a reflection of who is standing before you. When my mother was pregnant for 6 weeks, that is within the first trimester, 6 weeks, she bled until she thought the pregnancy had gone. That is, miscarriage, just bled. But the pregnancy refused to go. And then the pregnancy progressed till it was delivery time. She went to the hospital because she was in labor. I am child number 5. She has 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm number 5. And she went to the hospital, and the doctors and the midwife said, it's not in labor. She said, I don't know labor again. After giving birth 4 times, and this is the 5th time, and she vexed, went back home. And delivered this baby right in the floor of the house. Not in the hospital. That is confronted instantly with all the diseases I mentioned. The diphtheria, the polio, the measles, the everything. And then the child grew. And before the child could say, praise the Lord, he was confronted with myriads of afflictions. Major one was febrile convulsions. Kept on convulsing and convulsing and convulsing. The black of the eye would go up, the white would be out. Wherever she was in the market, she would run back home because the child is fitting and dying again. When I grew up and I was and God began to do a lot of things in our ministry, she said, I now understand why the devil did not see you for I. That's literal vernacular. Why the devil did not see you for I? Why the devil did not want to look, did not want to see you at all? And then I grew up, I was age 10. Around that age, when a drunkard held my hands and took me to the middle of the road and stood right there. Vehicles were blaring horns from both sides. I wanted to run off the highway. He held me. Couldn't. Witchcraft wizard or whatever he was. Wanted a child. Don't know what was. Yes. Help me in the road. Highway. I'm running. Pulled me back. Right in the middle of the highway. Vehicles coming from both sides. Blaring horns. Trailers. Lorries. And then progressed beyond that on diagnosable abdominal condition. Around the age of 12. Admitted in the hospital for days. And it's something that made you not to eat for up to 6-7 days and you are not fasting. Because the devil saw the future. I'm not telling you somebody's story. And I'm not telling you Bible. I'm not telling you a story that is abstract. I am telling you real life. The higher your destiny, the heavier the battle. Especially from childhood. And the devil goes after, he goes, please take your seat. He goes after that young age. And today, you see what is called cultism in primary school. Primary school. Cultism in secondary school. Youths finishing themselves, wasting their lives. Today you have destructive, immoral lifestyles and drugs all among you. Anyone you see today who is a cocaine addict or a drug addict or a heroin addict or a marijuana cannabis addict, it all started in teenage years, majority. Let me say 80-90% of it. Why? Because the enemy is fighting something and fighting a future. And he knew he must fight it and attack it well at his foundation so that the construction has no future. But that will never be your portion. I want to give you certain tendencies of youth. Tendencies that the enemy uses to manipulate and destroy youth before they become anything. That is why he said, remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth. That is, the youth age group is an age group where you watch yourself until you You escape into the mainstream life having become victorious. Now, number one tendency is the tendency to be independent of God. The tendency to be independent of God. The tendency to forget God. The tendency not to think seriously about spiritual matters. Very, very important. The tendency is an anti-Godism. A tendency not to think seriously about God. A tendency to squander the youth age on everything else but God. When we were growing up, some people were telling us, just enjoy your life now. Do all the things you are doing. When you get old, you can then give your life to Christ. What an aberration. It's like telling me, destroy the foundation, then do the construction later. Waste the foundation. Just waste the foundation. And then do the construction later. Am I communicating at all? My dear brothers and sisters and children, because many of you are old enough to be physical children and biological children. Even though I look like your age, but don't be deceived by my look. Listen to this. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. What you have is time. And you must attack your destiny on time if you are not to regret in the future. Am I communicating at all? Take your seat. Anybody you see who is significant on earth, significant in ministry, they pursued God at an early age. Look at Joseph. By the time he was age 17, he was already passionate for God. David, the same thing, age 17. Daniel, the same thing, age 17. John D. Rockefeller was a boy of almost 12 years old in the Northern Baptist Convention. When his mother taught him to tithe and taught him to live for God, the history showed that that man never smoked and never drank throughout his life and became the number one billionaire in the world. The world's first known billionaire. In today's dollars, if 10 billionaires put their money together, it's not up to the value of his billion at that time. 10 of the today's billionaires. He embraced God not even as a teenager, before his teen years. Ouroboros of the Ouroboros University, who built a university that has 110 floors on one ground. 30 floors to a point, and then 60 floors, but 90 floors, taken off from that 30 floors. I stood in front of that building, wondering what God did with a man. He was age 17 when God arrested him. Kenneth Hagin was age 17 when God arrested him. Benny Hinn was age 17 when God arrested him. Paul Yonggi-cho was between 16 and 17. When God arrested him, I was 11 years old when I did my first 3 days dry fasting. No food, only water. 11. Even though as a child, I slithered back a little because of influence of friends, by the time I was 18, I was full blast back to God. And then rural evangelism and all those kind of passionate things had started. Don't let anybody deceive you. Most of our age mates and others who felt that it was not good to serve God, or it was, let us wait till later. Some of them today, I have a contemporary. We grew up together. He's like 2 or 3 years older than me. But we grew up together. This guy at the age of 12 had several girlfriends. 12, 13, 14, and that kind of 17, 15. I mean, the guy was just something else. Today, he's not married till now. 50, let's say 55, 56. No wife. Oh, yes. No wife. There are many like that. That is for those who are still alive. There are those who have died of HIV and died of hepatitis and died of several other things. When you see people who think they need to squander their youth age, that is an error from hell. Because they may not live to see an old age. That they need to squander their youth age. Even if they have an old age, it will be a useless old age. So, the first tendency is the tendency to forget God. Number two is the tendency to generally, the tendency to exist thoughtlessly and mindlessly. Especially regarding important things of destiny. The tendency to exist mindlessly and thoughtlessly. Most youths don't think. Others think for them. Society think for them. Friends think for them. The internet thinks for them. Facebook thinks for them. Instagram thinks for them. WhatsApp thinks for them. Twitter thinks for them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And so on and so forth. It's a plague of thoughtlessness. It is shallow-mindedness. Inability to think deep about important matters of life. A thought that is generally focused on trivialities. Dress, hair. Do you know? A major difference between major differences between Jacob and Esau. I will tell you now, and I don't want you to forget it for life. If this is the only reason why you came for this conference, it is worth it. Genesis 25, verse 27, and then I'll read verse 29 to 34. It said, and the boys grew. So they were boys, youth, not men yet. Even in their boyhood stage, the difference has started. Esau was a cunning hunter as a boy, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling inside tents. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swear unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Can I ask somebody a question? The descendants of Jacob, what is their name today? Where are they today? In the nation of Israel. What is their position in the world today? Topmost. If there are 5 Nobel Prizes, Nobel Prize in medicine, in peace, in economics, in chemistry, anywhere, 5 Nobel Prizes, 4 of them are Jews. That is, the Jews will, okay, one of them, 1 out of 5, and the 4, they will share it for the rest of the world. If there are 20, the percentage is 20%. Question number 2. What is the name of the descendants of Esau today? Non-existent. Esau does not exist on the earth. What is the difference between Esau and Jacob? 1. Esau was restless. Whereas, that is, he was everywhere at the same time. Whereas Jacob was restful. We just read it now. Esau was a hunter, jumping from place to place. Jacob was a man of the tent. And I will show you later that the most likely thing Jacob was doing was the calculation of the future. When you see anybody who is everywhere today, he will be nowhere tomorrow. To be everywhere is to be nowhere. Here you are with friends here, with other friends there, with Facebook here and Twitter there and this. Just generally everywhere. They call it socialization. So restless. When you see anybody who is everywhere today, he will be nowhere tomorrow. When we grew up, I can identify with what I'm telling you now. I know there were people who were just literally everywhere. They were the happening guys. Yo, man, what's up, man? Just everywhere, they were just the socialites. Don't feel bad if you are not everywhere today. Because you are constructing a future for yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What is the difference between, what was the difference between Esau and Jacob? 2, Esau was thoughtless. His thought was shallow and scanty. Meanwhile, Jacob was thoughtful. His thought was calculated and deep. What does birthright mean to me? How can a person talk like that? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jacob, I believe that Jacob sat down to think. Now, the deeper your thought, the taller your life. The deeper your thought, the taller your life. The deeper your thought, the taller your destiny. To be thoughtful is to be resourceful. To be thoughtful is to be impactful. And to be thoughtless is to be impactless. You can never live a life that is higher than the quality of your thought. The quality of your thought affects the quality of your destiny. Don't let me lose here. Because what goes through your mind goes through your life. What cannot cross your mind can never cross your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? when those who think deeply talk, they set people thinking. When those who think deeply act, they set people thinking. Very, very important. So, you cannot be on the phone all the time, 24 hours. You cannot be on the chat 24 hours. On the Instagram, on the WhatsApp, on the Twitter, on the Facebook. When do you have the time to think? When do you have the time to calculate for your future? One of the greatest characteristics of my growing up years was the depth of thought. Till today, I have different diaries. I have a diary where I record messages such as this, the one I'm coming to preach. I have a diary where I record the revelations and insight I see as I study the Bible for my personal eating. I have a diary where I record revelations and dreams and visions and those kind of things. And I have one also. At times it's combined with the one of the personal study where I record deep thought. Sit down. Who am I? Where am I? What do I need to do to move from where I am to where I need to go? What are the things that should be the priorities of my life now? And what should be the posteriorities? Priorities are things I put in front. Posteriorities are things I put behind. Am I communicating? I am currently aware that there is so much more for my life to do than what I'm currently seeing. What do I do to deploy everything I've got? To see all I need to see. Because I've seen revelations in the spirit realm that I haven't seen a quarter of in the physical. I've seen things that I haven't scratched in the physical. Then what is the lag period about? What do I need to see them? Am I communicating at all? So it is time. God's servant Bishop Oyedepo said, the way people set aside prayer time, sleeping time, eating time, it is important to set aside thinking time. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not worrying time. It's not anxiety time. It is what we call pressurized progress planning. Strategic solution thinking. Strategic stroke analytical thinking. This is where I want to go. These are the 10 things I can do to reach there. These are the things slowing me down. These are the things I have to excuse from my life. Are we still together? So it's a plague of thoughtlessness that we have in the youth generation today. Esau was thoughtless. Thought was scanty and shallow. Jacob was thoughtful. Thought was calculated and meditative. When people say you think too much, it's not an insult. Except if it is that you worry too much, that is a problem. Except if it is that you are anxious too much, that's a challenge. But you think too much is an asset. Number three difference, Esau was focused on the moment. Whereas Jacob was focused on the future. Focused on the moment. What he needs to eat now was more important than where he needs to reach tomorrow. That is a plague of the youth today. Mostly focused on the moment. What I want now. What I can achieve now. What I want to do now. Focused on the moment. Number four difference. Esau lacked understanding of history. So he could not attain to destiny. Jacob had heavy understanding of history. So his destiny could not be aborted. Does that make any sense to you? Esau lacked understanding of history. So he could not attain to his destiny. Jacob had heavy understanding of history. So his destiny could not be aborted. What's the meaning of that? Esau knew that his lineage had a history with God. Jacob knew that his lineage had a history with God. Abraham had a history with God. Isaac had a history with God. And he realized that if the thing was to continue like that, it would be Esau that will continue that historical covenant relationship with God. And he wanted to switch in and be there by all means. Esau had no understanding. But I have discovered that destinies are switchable. Too much. I discovered that destinies are switchable. Oh, yes. If God gives you a mantle and you are not ready to use it, he can transfer it. Mantles are transferable. You are too slack, too sluggish, too sloppy, too lazy, too mindless, too thoughtless. You have zero value for what you are given. It is instantly relocated. I can give you many, many, many stories of that. Elijah was not the only prophet in Israel. When Elijah said, I am the only one, and they want to kill me, God said, don't talk like that. There are 7,000 people that have not bowed a knee to the Baal. Then when Obadiah met Elijah, he said, there are 100 prophets of God that I have hid in caves. So that is 7,100 people, potential prophets and actual prophets, who could have prophesied but said nothing. They said nothing to Ahab, said nothing to Jezebel, said nothing concerning the Baal situation in the land. So it appeared to me like God took 7,100 mantles and added it to what Elijah had. Since nobody can speak, I give you their voices. Speak on their behalf. No wonder the man walked in very frightening dimension. He called fire, he landed on the spot. Suddenly, when it was time to go, he couldn't even die. He cheated death. He's appointed unto man wants to die, but he escaped it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Because he was functioning with what I believe, generational mantles, instead of individual mantles. He was functioning with the mantles of many people put together. So the matter is transferable. He said in Revelation, he said, make sure you hold fast what that which thou holdest, that no man take your crown. Crowns are the products of impact on the earth. For a man to take your crown, it means he took your mantle. And it means he took, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Crowns are given to you because you made impact. Crowns are given to you because you made results. Now, if somebody took your crown, it means he took your mantle. It means he took your impact. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Catherine Kuhlman said that God told her that the work she was doing at that time was the work of a man. It was a man who disobeyed God, and that God decided to give her that man's work. And she said, no wonder the work was so physically demanding for her as a woman. Say it was a man's mantle. That was what Catherine Kuhlman said. I heard from Benny Hinn, he wanted to lay hands on a man. Man was crying and weeping during a conference. He wanted to lay his hands on that man. Big cross on his chest. God said, don't touch him. So he had an audible voice. Why? He said, I have rejected him. That is a man still alive. God said, don't lay your hand on him. I'm through with him. Anything I would have done with him is to be done with another person now. One man told me how God sent him into a town. And he began the work of God in that town, and the work exploded instantly. Only for him to later on hear that somebody was earlier on in that town before. With the same name of that ministry, he didn't know that God gave him that city. The man disobeyed God and wasted and faded away. And God called another person and gave him the same ministry's name. Because mantles can't perish. People may fail, but purpose can't fail. I mean, the people of God may fail God, but the purpose of God cannot fail. When the people fail, the purpose are transferred. When a person fails, the purpose is to fulfill is transferred to another person. Am I communicating? Very, very important. Esau had no understanding of history. And the truth of the matter is, it is when you know where you are coming from that you can access where you are going to. And this is also important for the church. If the body of Christ, people of God, and children of God don't know where we have come from as a church, it's impossible to know where we are going to. I was talking with God's servant, Pastor W.F. Kumi, the other day with my wife. And he was giving me historical details of the move of God in history. And by God's mercy, there were things I was acquainted with. So do you remember William John Alexander Dowie? I said, yes, sir. You say, you remember F.F. Bosworth was in Zion City also? I said, yes, sir. So you remember the evangelist? He was talking and talking at rattling history, what people did and how they functioned, Abraham, all of that. And I told my wife when we came out of there, I said, God doesn't anoint people by accident. He doesn't just anoint people by accident. People must have a clue of what God has done before. The reason why we over celebrate some things today in some quarters is because we are not aware of what happened yesterday. If we knew what happened yesterday, we would be crying for ourselves today. But why did God abandon us like this? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Take yourself. So Esau had no understanding of history. He lacked the understanding of history, so he could not attain to destiny. Jacob had a heavy understanding of history. And this is very, very important. And finally, number five for Esau and Jacob. Esau lacked value for the spiritual. Whereas Jacob had a very heavy value for the spiritual. Very heavy. I want someone to help me go through the Bible after this study and just help me identify one place where you saw that Esau raised an altar. You won't find. But Jacob reared up an altar and offered sacrifices. And God met Jacob, and God said this and said that and said this and said that. Plenty. Angels met Esau, met Jacob, and said this, and said this, and said this, and said that. Plenty. Esau had zero value. Your value, your sense of value, determines your access to profit. Because value is tied to profit. Where there is no spiritual value, there can be no spiritual profit. Is God speaking to anybody here today? Say a louder amen. Before I go on towards conclusion, whether you will end as Esau or end like Jacob is not a matter of birth, because they were born from the same womb. You didn't hear what I just said. Some people think that some people are born in certain families or certain things favor them. Esau and Jacob were the products of the same conception. Nobody knows if they are a monozygotic twin, which means that one egg was fertilized and divided into two and produced identical twins. Well, since they were here, one was hairy and the other one was not, it means there's some level of non-identicalness. But the products of the same conception, the same father, the same mother, the same womb. If there was primary school, the same primary school, the same household, the same food they ate, the same bed they slept, the same lessons, if father and mother taught them, the same lessons they learned. But Esau ended this way, and Jacob ended that way. Whether you will end like Esau or Jacob is not a matter of birth. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of decision. It's a matter of what you want out of life. One of God's servants said many years ago, I think Pastor Ayo Risajafo, who said that in the Bible school he attended, one of his classmates was killed on the highway as an armed robber who passed through the same Bible school with him. Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I mean, we can be in the same church, listening to the same message, the same everything, same climate, but you will end well. I said you will end well. I said you will end well. If you are saying amen, can you say a louder amen? If you are saying amen, can you say a louder amen? So let's go on. The tendencies of the youth, it was on one of them that we shifted to Esau and Jacob. We said that the first tendency is the tendency to be independent of God, and then the second tendency is the tendency to exist thoughtlessly and mindlessly. That was where we shifted to Esau and Jacob. Number three now is the tendency to embrace pleasure ahead of reality. To embrace pleasure ahead of reality. We live in a pleasure-driven generation. Entertainment-driven generation. Time with video games. Time with computer games. Time with movies and films. And I'm not against movies. Actually, there will be a movie that should be shown to you, one of these, today, tomorrow or next tomorrow, by a Christian movie site. We're not against that. But when a person's life revolves around entertainment, revolves around pleasure, and the content is just purely fleshly, it becomes challenging. It's a tendency. And all these tendencies are targeted towards arresting the destiny of the youth, the future. Am I communicating? The tendency, I'm going to run faster. The tendency to embrace pleasure ahead of reality. Number four is the tendency for experimental existence. The tendency for experimentation. Experimenting all manner of things, especially negative things. Naturally, the youth mind is an inquisitive mind. And the devil mostly redirects this inquisitiveness in the wrong direction. That is where people began to try out cigarettes, try out alcohol, try out nightclub, try out immorality. It's like there is something in need that they don't want me to have, so let me just check it out. But the tragedy is that most people don't come out of the experiment. They don't come out of it. They come out of it, some as wrecks of their lives. Most people, when they come out of the experiment, the loss is worse than the lesson. Am I communicating? Heavier than the lesson. Most people, when they come out of the experiment, the scar is worse than any stardom they get. Am I communicating? Let our experimentation be in revelation. Let your inquisitive mind press you into God and press you into the world. Even the kind of experimentation that leads to inventions, that brings generational solutions. I'm telling you, weapons that the enemy used to destroy many lives. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Experimentation. One of our young guys in the university in those days, he was bold and aggressive. We grew together as well. Bold and aggressive. And he was on the fast, very, very, very fast lane. He wanted to make money and make it very fast. And before we knew it, I heard that he had various property, cars, everything. One day, some people met him and said, "Who did you deal with like that?" He had done some deals, and the deals dealt with him, with people. And they came back to later deal with him, the dealer. He was fast, but he couldn't last. It's better to be slow and sure than to be fast and then fall. This is a major challenge of you. The tendency for experimentation. Number five is the tendency for what I call rebellious antinomism. Antinom. A-N-T-I-N-O-R-M. I-S-M. Antinomism. Antinomia. Rebellious antinomism. That is where, and this is very, very destructive. This is the tendency to go against constituted authority, constituted norms. If this is the normal thing to do, I want to go against it. That's the origin of all manner of dress styles and hairstyles. And if it is creative, it's all right. If it is decent, it's all right. If it is decorative, it's all right. If it is appealing and attractive, it's all right. But once it starts getting weird, very, very weird, very, very unreal, ethereal, eccentric, out of the realm of normal human beings, where it begins to look more like insanity. I'm sure you know the dress style of an insane man. There were people they used to call the hippies in the 70s. They were against everything that was. Hair was like, some men will keep the hair all the way almost to the back in America there. Indian hemp, all manner of terrible kind of. That is one thing the devil uses to destroy the youth. But I want you to know today that inside every youth is the seed of a great leader. Inside that girl called Esther is the seed of royalty, leadership over an empire. Inside that little boy called David is the seed of generational monarchy, leadership. David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Hezekiah, Asa, Jehoshaphat. A whole lineage of kings from the seed of David. Inside that boy called Joseph that they were ignoring as dreamer comet was the seed of a generational leader. This is the point of the matter. Don't behave like the child you are. Behave like the leader you are destined to be. Behave like the leader you have been destined to become. Don't behave like the child you see when you look at the mirror. And don't behave like the child of your age. Don't behave for where you are. Behave for where you are going. The question now is, if I am a child, a young boy, and I have the seed of leadership, and I am destined to be a leader, the way I look now, can the president of a country look like that? If the answer is no, then I am not behaving for my future. I am trying to limit myself to my present. Hello? Can the queen of an empire look like this? The first lady of a nation. The head of a major global corporation. If they say, let the head of A-class corporations worldwide sit together to talk, will he look like this? If he doesn't look like this, then I am tying myself to my past and I don't have a place in my future. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? This is very, very important. Don't just live for the moment. Live for the future. Take your seat. I think that adults should also listen to this message. That is why I began by saying, help me let all your friends listen to this message. Don't. I was already neatly tied and suited and everything at the age of 19, 20. If you looked at me, you thought I was a corporate executive. At that age, the time when my friends were wearing all manner of jeans and my all manner of everything. Jeans is not bad, I wear jeans too. Don't misunderstand me. But when they were wearing all manner of things, even though I can't be barefoot even at home, even the normal slippers at home for me is a challenge. You can ask my wife. I can't wear bathroom slippers at home. You can't catch me. Even I have not cut myself in the last 20-something years. The least is the one that is half cut you here. The one that others wear to go out. That they put leg inside like this. You know that type? That is covered here and the back is open. That one is the one I wear at home. If I'm to come from the room downstairs. I mean, it's not a law, it's not a rule, but that's how my life has been packaged. It's not a rule, it's not a law. I told my wife, I step out any day to be ready to meet any president anytime. I don't have to go and change and come. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? So that antinomism, it doesn't help. Trying to be opposite, trying to go against everything, it doesn't help. Number six now, is the tendency, my time is up and I'll stop here very soon. The tendency to bow to peer pressure. Peer pressure and influence is a tendency of youth.
And that tendency is the tendency to think that whatever is popular must be what is proper. No. The fact that it is popular does not make it proper. The fact that everybody is saying it, everybody is doing it, doesn't make it right. Majority only carries the vote in democracy, which in most cases is a demonstration of craze. According to what fella said many years ago, especially in Africa. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That's me. For God, one with him is the majority. Am I communicating at all? It is better to stand alone than to stand with the wrong crowd. Whenever you become human approval addicted, you have become divine destiny disconnected. Did you hear what I just said? Whenever you become human approval addicted, you have become divine destiny disconnected. That is, you are addicted to what people want, what they say, what they feel. Two things I want you to bear in mind here. You can never fulfill a future if what people say matter too much to you. And you can never fulfill a future if you are addicted to convenience. If you are overbordered with human feelings and sayings, and you are overbordered with the issue of is it convenient when it is commanded, the future is not certain. You're ticking your skin, deaf in your ears. Like Archbishop Blessing the House of Blessed Memory said, to be able to reach where you are meant to reach in life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say louder amen. Amen. That you are youth is not compulsory that you must have friend. It is in order to have friends. And it is all right to have the right friends. But it is better to be without friends than to be surrounded with unfriendly friends. It is better to be without a friend than to be distracted into destruction by the wrong association. They said they won't be my friend again. So what? How many friends did David have before he met Jonathan, who was his friend? How many friends did Joseph have? How many friends did Joseph have? Who was the friend of Esther? Daniel has Shadrach, Meshach. If they had the correct friends, the Bible will mention it. Who was Joseph's friend? Who was David's friend? There are realms where friends is needed, and friends is very essential. Oh yes. As David grew up, not a friend, until he met Jonathan later. That, not friend in the morning, friend in the afternoon. Listen. Vultures struggle to flock together.
But eagles don't mind flying alone. Sila. Vultures struggle to flock together. Eagles don't mind flying alone. And this is raw truth. The higher you are going to go in life, the fewer your friends will become. Because many are comfortable with your level. If you ever attempt a change of level, they become uncomfortable. And if you speak like Joseph began to speak about a future that is bigger than theirs, then you are looking for persecution. Is God speaking to anybody here? I have never struggled for friends. Never. From university, I had one or two, but I've never. I don't have a friend. Push yourself, for there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let God fill the vacuum. Let him be to you the friend that you've been struggling to have. But don't misunderstand me. If you have good people around your life, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego around Daniel, congratulations. That is encouraged. That is highly welcome. Like Peter, James, and John. Congratulations. But if you don't have, don't die. Don't die. Stand up on your feet. I have one more point, and I want you to take that standing. I congratulate you. I'm telling you. If I heard what you are hearing at your age, I won't be here. I won't be at this level. Congratulations. 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 I've been thinking about the preaching here. Fans to come. And here he is massively distracted and literally destroyed. Focus on message is not there because of one calamitous manifestation. Listen to me. You may be laughing at it now, but you will appear before God and he may show you the number of people you distracted by your life. If some went to hell, you follow them there. This is my conviction. You can't send anybody to hell by your action and escape and go to heaven. Especially if those kind of actions continue. Do you understand? Always bear in mind that your actions are personal, but the consequences may be beyond personal. You don't live just in the world of your own. You live in a world that is connected to the world of others. Hello? Very, very important. And when you have that understanding, then you can live a life that is truly impactful. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. Lift up your hands and your voice and let's begin to speak to God. Let's begin to honor God. Adore God. Adore him. Worship him. Magnify. Lift your hands and worship him. Shut it. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands high. I perceive that God is, at this moment and in this season, is endeavoring to redirect people to his presence, to himself, to his knowledge. He wants to focus you on that which really matters. Matters for life. Matters for destiny. It's a revival in your soul, in your life. Lift your hands higher. Close your eyes. Whisper that name, Jesus. Engage. 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 Lift your hands high. Say after me, O Lord, draw me closer to yourself in relationship, in intimacy. Now, lift the hands high and bring it down gradually. When I count up to five, you place it on your head and whisper that name, Jesus, again. Of the Holy Ghost, receive the outflow. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Receive the flow of revival from the depths of your spirit. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Receive, open your mouth and pray, 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 pray. Pray, 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 pray now. Shapayata kasata la barada da, ipla barute ke belukre de gede, ye kopala brada baba la barada, shigala baba rada gadia, le frento kosata la barada bagada, ya prata kasata la baba rada da da, ila baraka gada baba la barada, prada to kosata la brada baba la barada bagada. Shapayata
To you, to be yielded to you, to move because you say to move, to sit because you say to sit. Father, deliver us from the world and all its attractions. Deliver us from the world, from the ways of the world, the attractions of friends, of social media, of fans, of people. Oh God, deliver us from every besetting limitations and sins. Deliver us and make our lives worthy for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you and thank you and thank you. And while our eyes are still closed and our heads bowed, if there's anybody that still wants to ask Jesus to forgive you any sin and to make his ways resident in your life, so that your ways are right with him. Anywhere you are, you can pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me all my sins today. Make me a new person. I will live for you. I will serve you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you all in the name of Jesus.